So thinking of this theme again of God is, tonight's scripture is from Exodus chapter 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Moses is called by God to do a very important task. He is to confront Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth at the time, and he is to lead the Israelites, Pharaoh's slaves and God's people, out of slavery into the promised land. Moses' response, I think, might have been a little bit like people's response today when they get a call from a poller. This is so-and-so doing a poll. Can I get you? Click. Yeah. So God had a plan. God announced God's presence through an angel from a burning bush. And we're told that when Moses' attention was turned toward that bush to see why it wasn't burning up, it's then that God called his name, Moses. Moses. God had caught his attention. Moses then responded with a question that you and I often respond with, Who am I? Who am I that I should do this task for the Lord? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I that I should liberate the Israelites and the Egyptians from slavery? That's right. Not only the Israelites needed liberation, but so did the Egyptians. Think about what it must do to one's soul to treat another human being equal to or less than an animal for 400 years. This story This story in Exodus, the Exodus story, is in all of Scriptures the central story of God's work of liberation. And it's full of drama. It's full of power and resistance to that power. It's full of demands for loyalty, and it's full of intrigue and murder and death and life. Up until this point, Moses has been the rope in a tug of war between God and Pharaoh. Moses was born into the house of a Hebrew couple, an Israelite couple. And Moses' life, even as he was born, like every Hebrew boy child at that time, had a price on his head. Pharaoh had instructed midwives to kill every boy child born to the Israelites as soon as it was born. But Moses' sister and mother and some of the midwives resisted Pharaoh's command. And Moses was put into a basket and floated down the river. And Moses was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in Pharaoh's house, nursed at the breast of his own mother, yet raised to call Pharaoh's daughter mom. Who will win the tug of war for Moses' life? Who will win that tug of war? Is it Pharaoh or is it God? It's this story, it's in this story that we have from Exodus 3, Moses' call story, that finally reveals to the reader whose claim rests on Moses' life and who will win this tug of war. And it is God. Moses, Moses, I am the God of your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So come, come, and I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of slavery, to liberate them from Pharaoh's tyranny. But it's after Moses says yes that he has his toughest job now facing him. And the toughest part of that job is not convincing Pharaoh to let God's people go. His toughest job was to convince the people of Israel that God still exists, that God is. 400 years they had been enslaved, mistreated as property, mistreated like animals or less, mistreated harshly. After 100 years, 4 or 5 generations of suffering under that kind of mistreatment, crying out to God, most of us would have given up on God and said with Nietzsche, God is dead. But 400 years, 16 to 20 generations, oh my. How could they ever believe that God would be coming to them now? So Moses asks, if they ask me, what is this God's name, what should I say? Well, again, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's own house. And the Egyptians had over 2,000 deities. Perhaps Moses was expecting to hear the name of Amun-Ra, the hidden one, or Mut, the mother goddess, or Osiris, the king of the living, or Ra. Ra, I think that was the one he was waiting for, the god of the sun and radiance. Or Horus, the god of vengeance. But instead, God's answer is simply, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. It's unclear exactly which tense is with it. God's answer really simply is, I am. But we can't say, I is, can we, in English? So we say, God is. God's name really is, God is. God is the one who promises to be with Moses, and God is the one who promises to be with the Israelites, and God is the one who promises to be with us. God has no fancy name or fancy title. He has no Muhammad Ali charisma behind his name, like, I am the champ, I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Just, I am who I am. I was your ancestors' God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am now your God. I will be always. your God. In our culture, we think 40 minutes is too long to wait for God. But 400 years? It's nothing to our eternal God, but it's an eternity to us. We've been waiting 9 months for a COVID virus to die out, to disappear. We're tired of it. We may be tempted to wonder, is God with us or not? Is God alive? Or perhaps maybe Nietzsche was right. Perhaps instead of thinking that God is, we might be wondering, perhaps God isn't. God isn't listening. God isn't with us. God isn't even alive. And I think many have given up. But that's why God may be calling your name. That's why God may be calling your name. So come, God says to you and to me. Come and I will send you to whom I will send you. I will send you to bring her to me or to bring him to me. Come. And I will send you. When I say that sentence one more time, just say your name. Come, I will send you. I will send you to this world that has been tempted to give up on me. I will send you to this world who wonders if I'm alive, so that you with Moses can speak the truth. That God is, and God will be.